Now, the epistle appointed for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 4. Brethren, we pray and beseech you in the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so also you would walk, that you may abound the more. For you know what precepts I have given to you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the passion of lust, like the Gentiles that know not God, and that no man overreach nor circumvent his brother in business, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, as we have told you before and have testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto sanctification, in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 17. At that time, Jesus taketh unto him Peter and James and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and he was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then Peter answering said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And as he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and lo, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And the disciples hearing fell upon their face, and were very much afraid. And Jesus came and touched them, and said to them, Arise and fear not. And they, lifting up their eyes, saw no one but only Jesus. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, till the Son of Man be risen from the dead. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Jesus came and touched them, and said to them, Arise and fear not. And they, lifting up their eyes, saw no one but only Jesus. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the early 19th century, my dear faithful, there lived a certain very gifted young man named Hermann Cohen. He was Jewish by birth, though his family hardly taught him anything of religion. What made him very gifted, though, was his musical genius. He started playing the piano at the age of 4, and by the age of 10, he was playing concerts before kings and queens. His parents pushed Hermann on to fame and glory, but they completely neglected his morals. Hermann grew proud and vain, and by the time he was in his teens, he was addicted to gambling and was morally depraved. Eventually, his vices brought about his downfall, for his evil pastimes consumed his time. Hermann failed to practice and thus found himself becoming mediocre. The public soon rejected him, and thus Hermann fell out of the limelight. Still, he had friends, and they obtained for him permission to play the organ at their local Catholic church. While playing the organ at the church for a ceremony, Hermann stopped when the priest began benediction. Being a Jew, though, when the priest turned from the altar, holding the Blessed Sacrament in his hands to bless the people, and the faithful all knelt with heads bowed in adoration, Hermann alone did not kneel. Then suddenly, Hermann felt compelled to his knees. For at that moment, grace poured into his soul. The truth and beauty of the real presence, that the infinite God should hide himself under such humble appearances out of love for man. This truth struck him to the heart. Hermann then willingly bowed in adoration before the Blessed Sacrament. He had knelt down as a Jew, But just a few moments later, he rose, believing in the Catholic faith. Soon Herman was baptized, and Herman Cohen was no more. This young man took the name Augustine for his new baptismal name, for his conversion from his sinful past resembled St. Augustine's very closely. And this new Augustine continued following St. Augustine's footsteps, for like the saint of old, he then gave up the world and became a religious. He even became a monk and a priest. Father Augustine of the Blessed Sacrament, as Herman Cohen then became, spent his life preaching on the Blessed Sacrament. In the Gospel of today's Mass, St. Peter too was compelled not just to kneel, but to fall flat on the ground in adoration, when he, with James and John, when he beheld our Lord gloriously transfigured. Our Lord's face and hands glowed with a brilliant light, a light brighter than the sun. Even Christ's clothes were transformed, for they became brilliantly white, whiter than snow, so white that nothing on earth can compare to this magnificence. St. Peter fell flat on his face before this ravishing sight. The glory of Christ swept over him, and St. Peter humbly bowed before our Lord in adoration. And yet, just a week before this, this St. Peter was rebuked by our Lord with the words, "Get behind me, Satan." You see, this was the occasion when our Lord had told the apostles of his coming passion. He prophesied that he would be scourged, crowned with thorns, and crucified. And Peter rejected this. "Lord," he said, "far be it from me. This shall not happen to thee." Out of his devotion to our Lord, Peter refused to believe that Christ would suffer these things. And that was when our Lord rebuked Peter and even called him Satan. Our Lord did this, and in such a severe manner, because Peter had rejected the cross and thus, all unknowingly, rejected the redemption. Peter had forgotten who he was speaking to. Peter believed our Lord was the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior. But sometimes Peter forgot our Lord's divinity. He spent so much time with Christ. He lived with him. He worked with him. He ate with him. All this time, yes, Peter saw many miracles and wonders. But he also saw our Lord hungry. He saw him tired and thirsty. He saw a fellow man of flesh and blood. And because of our Lord's humanity, Peter occasionally forgot Christ's divinity. In other words, Peter's faith in our Lord was not strong enough. That is why Peter so rashly contradicted our Lord when our Lord predicted his own passion. And that, too, is why he fell at the Passion itself, despite having witnessed Christ work so many miracles, having heard our Lord prophesy that same Passion, and even seeing our Lord transfigured with glory. St. Peter so humanly forgot who this divine person, hidden under the form of man, really was. Just as we so humanly can forget who this divine person really is, hidden under the appearance of bread and wine as he is. The apostles would sometimes forget our Lord's divinity because they beheld only our Lord's humanity. That is why our Lord allowed his divinity to shine forth in the Transfiguration, to strengthen the faith of his apostles in his divinity. We too have the same difficulty as the apostles. The apostles lived with our Lord in the midst of them, and so do we. We have our Lord living with us in the Blessed Sacrament. The apostles forgot our Lord's divinity because of his humanity. Now what of us who have our Lord only under the appearances of bread and wine? Do we remember that this is God, the infinite God, dwelling in our tabernacle? Yes, of course, we believe in the divinity of Christ and his real presence in the Blessed Sacrament. And this is why we genuflect, we kneel, we pray to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, because we believe he is God. But do we run to him? Do we hunger after receiving him in Holy Communion? Is he the center of our lives so that we look back to our past communions overwhelmed with gratitude and look forward to our next communion as a goal to strive after, a gift to prepare for, a treasure to acquire? The Holy Eucharist contains the God-man himself, the source of all graces, of all good, of all happiness. We believe this, but do we treat this most blessed sacrament as if it is God himself? This is the King of Kings residing amongst us, and who makes us his thrones by receiving Holy Communion. And as a king, he lavishly pours his graces upon us. He literally floods our souls with grace. To do this, our Savior has made himself our food. For he does to our soul everything food does for the body. Food preserves life by giving us energy. It restores life by replacing what is lost. And it develops life further by giving everything needed for growth. So too our Lord in Holy Communion is our food, for he preserves the life of grace in us by giving us his grace. He restores life in us by healing the injuries we have suffered. That is, when we receive Holy Communion, our Lord forgives the venial sins that we no longer have an attachment to. Finally, he develops life further in us, by increasing sanctifying grace within us. As our Lord promised, he that eateth me, the same also shall live by me. That is why Father Augustine Cohen dedicated the rest of his life to preaching the Blessed Sacrament. Our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament brought about Father Augustine's conversion. And from then on, the Blessed Sacrament was the center of Father Augustine's life. Father Augustine traveled all over Europe, preaching the Blessed Sacrament. In one of his sermons, he listed what the Blessed Sacrament does for souls by many beautiful analogies. I know of a key that opens the doors of divine mercy, he said. A fountain with springing waters in the desert of life. A star in the night guiding pilgrim souls. This is the divine Eucharist. Who will tell me there is a stronger power against death than the divine Eucharist? There is none indeed. Death, Father Augustine said. What did he mean by this death? He was not talking about physical death, but spiritual death. Mortal sin. Our Lord in the Holy Eucharist is the greatest power against sin, for this is God himself. And Father Augustine spoke from experience, for after his conversion he had many vices, long established habits of sin to overcome. The arrogant, worldly Hermann Cohen did not become the saintly Father Augustine without a hard struggle. pride, vanity, impurity. For over 10 years, these sins were his life. They were second nature to him, and thus must have been so difficult to overcome. Where did he turn for help in his struggle against these sins? He fled to the source of grace, our Lord himself in the Blessed Sacrament. And so too must we, my dear faithful. We too must run to the source of grace for the salvation of our souls. We must run to our Lord himself in the Blessed Sacrament. Use Holy Communion, my dear faithful, to save your souls. If there is some vice that you are struggling to overcome, go to Holy Communion and receive divine help. If there is some temptation that you find so difficult to resist, then go to Holy Communion and find divine strength. If there is some great sorrow in your life that weighs you down, then go to Holy Communion and obtain divine comfort. These are the graces our Lord holds out to us, and yet we must prepare for this great gift, for his grace can be blocked and rejected. Our own unworthiness, our lack of devotion, our forgetfulness of whom we receive, can prevent us from receiving all the graces we need, all the graces we can and should obtain by this sacrament. That is why we must prepare for each Holy Communion we receive. In his decree on daily communion, Pope St. Pius X gave 2 essential requirements for a good communion. The first requirement is, of course, the state of grace. We can do no supernatural good nor earn any grace without being in the state of grace. The second requirement is a devout and pious intention. This means a person receiving Holy Communion should not receive out of routine or merely because others do. These are mere natural motives, unworthy of this supernatural sacrament. The faithful should receive this sacrament because they seek something supernatural, that is, union with our Savior. And by this union, they hope to acquire strength to serve God better and to keep away from sin. To do this, to have this intention, one must have a deep faith in our Lord. And so, my dear faithful, when you go to receive Holy Communion, consider these truths of this sacrament. First, it is the infinite God himself, hidden under these humble appearances of bread. Think of our Lord transfigured in glory as St. Peter saw him. Picture him seated on a throne of majesty, surrounded by millions of angels and saints. This is who waits for you in the tabernacle. And second, consider that God hides himself to be the food of your soul. As the source of all grace, he will preserve, restore, and strengthen the life of grace in your soul, if only you receive him well. And third, consider that for our Lord to take up his throne in your heart and give you divine life. This God-man exchanged his brilliant white robes for scourge marks, his crown of glory for a crown of thorns, and his throne for a cross upon which he died. He suffered all this so that he could win your heart. He loves you with an infinite love and asks only that you love him in return. Make use of this supreme gift. Prepare yourself for a holy communion well, and you will conquer sin by the might of the King of Kings. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.